And now for the summer movies that are finally finished. It's GRD's Weekly.
It just needed a little more time to cook.
Wow, okay. So you're going to sit in a different spot on the table now. Awesome. Different time to cook? Like basting?
Yep.
Outstanding.
Gotta love those Somal movies. Summer, fall, you got it.
Somal. Somalia movies? No. Wow. No, dude, no. Hi, Somal. Welcome to GRD's Weekly episode number... Really?
Cricket.
You had it last time.
265?
Oh, you're dyslexic.
256.
526. Welcome to GRD's Weekly 5. No, it's 256. Indeed, it is. And yes, we are gathered around to talk about the second summer of movies, it's looking like. It used to be just...
Summer 2.0.
It used to be just Oscar bait. It really did. But, crazy stuff. Anyway, the woman that loves hanging around and looking at that stuff online, it's the Flintstress.
Thank God for them internets.
I do love them internets.
And the ladies' man himself, it's Saucy.
It's like we got ourselves a ladies' man.
See, even John Wayne agrees with me, so you know I'm right. Hi there, I'm the wonderfully, always appropriate Billy Flynn.
I'm sorry, can I offer you a drink? How about this expensive prostitute?
What have you been doing geeky, yo?
Tons of stuff. I'm not watching Archer, unfortunately, but I will start with we watched Dracula Untold, the one with...
Can I say right now how impressed I am that you remembered that?
Yep.
Very nice.
I remember that. I don't anticipate remembering every little thing, but something that stuck out with me, I think because we did it as a double feature.
We did. Ended up as a double feature.
So we watched Dracula Untold. That's the one where, you know, Bart of Lake Town is Dracula, yeah, and he turns totally into bats and he flies around. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. The other Stark kid is in this movie as the kid. From Game of Thrones.
They have to do something.
Yeah. It's not. It's Rickon. Is that the one? Yeah, it was Rickon. Rickon. I don't know how you put the emphasis
Ricola.
On that. Well, he was in the movie. And Saucy, what did you think of Dracula Untold?
I have a stigmatism that there's never going to be anything made that meets my Dracula standards because nothing does. Nothing. Not even Bram Stoker's.
Which is what we watch next in our double feature. It was like, okay, so Flynn, you like movies. What is the Dracula movie? If you have to watch a Dracula movie, not a vampire movie, but if we were watching a Dracula movie.
I believe my words to you were that the one that is the closest to the Bram Stoker novel is Bram Stoker's Dracula, is
what
I said.
Which we proceeded to watch, and that was not as good as I remembered it. And I remember being really, really scared of that movie when I was a kid.
You were also really scared of the Dream Warrior. Not the Dream Warrior. Warriors.
Oh, Nightmare on Elm Street, part four.
Yeah, not Dream Warriors.
Yeah. So, which I have not watched again since being a child.
Yes, you have.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, you watched it with me and you laughed about it because you were this is, we're having that moment again.
Right.
It's awesome.
I remember now.
No, it's very much a, Francis Ford Coppola very much went for a very gothic style.
Yeah.
So it has its own style. There are things that were never filmed in any other story of Dracula before. For instance, Dracula being an old man at the beginning of the film.
Right.
Because he is in the book. The climbing down the side of the castle wall was never filmed before.
Yeah.
The big ending where, you know, you've got to get to his coffin before sunset and you're chasing him on a coach. One of the most visually captivating elements from the novel was never filmed before. So...
Because, I mean, part of that is because they couldn't with technology or whatever.
Just decided to... Well, most people know Dracula included. Because of the play, which became the 1931 Universal, you know, that one with Bela Lugosi. Most people know of Dracula that way, and that takes quite a
Hungarian
few liberties.
You have to be Hungarian and double-jointed.
Double-jointed. Takes quite a bit of liberty with what happens on there in the book, because they leave a lot out. I mean, in that one, I love that one. Bela Lugosi is amazing in that. But, for instance... He never actually bites anybody because you couldn't show something like that in 1931. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, he's got the cape and everything, and it's outdated. People just have that idea, and they just always stuck with that. They got closer. The 76, 78 one with Frank Langella, who has sort of a fro. It's like the white guy,
but
sort of
like
puffy 70s hair.
Fancy Dracula with, like, the red brooch and, like, the cape. Like, that's definitely one Dracula, but I thought this was a pretty good...
Yeah, it's just not that good a movie overall.
And the cinematographer was having a good time because I remember going, wow, someone is making a movie.
Certainly. But I have to question the sanity of anybody that decided that in Bram Stoker's Dracula, we need both Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder.
Right.
I mean,
It was so dated. I just, every time he's on screen, I just expect him to be like, whoa. And he kind of was close to.
There he is. Look at that.
There's Dracula.
Oh my goodness. He's got fangs. I mean, you know, it's and she's not much better. The joke that's on Family Guy where you see her in like a Jane Austen piece or something going, that would be most good. I love Winona Ryder, but that's kind of how she sounds
all then, the time in that,
especially
yeah.
back then.
That
so
was funny.
The core of that is the fact that, yes, romance and whatever, and but I don't believe them as a couple to start with. So, you know, no wonder she ran off with Gary Oldman. That's easy enough to do. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I liked it as a double feature because in that they added this extra little bit about, you know, Vlad actually having Vlad Tepes, you know, Vlad Impaler at the beginning of that. So Dracula Untold is kind of like the movie version of the prologue of that film.
Right. Because we watched the prologue of the movie and I was like, oh, okay, there we go. We just saw Dracula Untold.
Yeah. Because when he runs across the field in our mind, we go, okay, and now when he goes to the dark, he turned into the bat and started
doing it. So it was definitely, I think Dracula Untold was made by someone who likes Bram Stoker's Dracula as the movie and was, you know, doing something different. It was definitely
Universal
different.
Universal trying to bring it back.
You know, it's hard when you have something like a franchise that well established where like everybody knows Dracula to do anything different. So blah. It was definitely cool. Yeah, it was blah, blah, blah. I don't say blah, blah, blah. That was from that commercial.
Anthony Hopkins had the greatest time. In Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Right.
He was having so much fun.
He was also making a movie.
He certainly was. And wow, the size of that steak. Wow.
Yeah. All right. Also on my list, The Bastard Executioner.
Okay.
So this is on FX, and it's brought to you by the people who did Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
It's Kurt our Southern. Period piece sent in 14th century. Kurt Suter, maybe? Sutter? Anyway, set in 14th century Wales, and it's very, very violent and bloody.
And yeah, as it can be on FX.
Yeah, so it was just kind of, sometimes you sort of forget, like when you watch a lot of network TV and then you're like, oh, okay, that just happened. So it was bloody. It was kind of, I guess it was as bloody as Vikings. Would you say it was worse than Vikings as far as the gore?
A little bit.
Yeah, it was a little bit worse. A little bit worse.
A little bit, but this is FX. They get away with this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff in Sons of the Anarchy was pretty...
So within the first like 5 minutes or
auto
10 minutes, maybe.
Off.
Yeah, that's true. In the first like 10 minutes of the movie, we had blood and we had naked butt.
Yes.
So it was like, all right, blood and butt. I know exactly what we're in for with this.
We're staying at the B&B.
That's funny. But we have Katie Sagal is also in this.
Yes.
And what's his name? He plays Bill on True Blood.
The guy who plays Bill in True Blood?
Yeah. Who's married to Anna, what's her name? Paquin.
Certainly.
Yeah. Anyway, so he is in that movie. And it's interesting. I don't know if it's like, if it's trying to be provocative just to be provocative or if I actually like the story or care about the characters yet, but it was just the first episode. It was definitely, and you agreed with me, I think, on this one. I think we all agreed that it wasn't a 2-hour premiere. They just showed the first two episodes. What do you think?
They definitely did.
Yeah.
They definitely did. Because they're standing there. In a field of like dead bodies, and you're just like, end episode. It's done. It's over. And like that's where you stop.
And it's crazy that a field of dead bodies isn't in any way, shape, or form a spoiler, because you see in the trailer that stuff's going
that
on.
There's
going
to be all kinds of dead people flying all over the place.
Yeah.
It's not a spoiler at all.
No, that's what
you
say.
That's what I'm saying.
That it's funny
that
it's not.
You can say that and not be a spoiler.
It's called
at
the
all.
Bastard Executioner. You go in expecting a field of dead bodies. Somewhere.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I was expecting
just thinking,
a bastard.
You know, he's chopping people's heads off, and you know, yeah.
I was expecting a guillotine. No, it was the storytelling aspect of it seemed a little disjointed, especially in our first hour. We seemed to kind of, and I guess that's kind of a thing to do, just sort of jump around with people and get to know them instead of actually trying to give an introduction, which can be very clumsy with TV.
Yeah.
But yeah, for a bit you're like, but I think we all do appreciate the fact that you're going to warn us before you go to commercial so we can get the remote ready.
That is kind of cool. So for the last like 2 to 3 seconds of every bit,
it goes
to black and white and then it goes to commercial. It's like,
which is just weird.
Okay. That's
one of Kurt's ideas.
Yeah.
He thinks of weird things like that.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't understand what that's supposed to mean. To me, it means commercials are coming. I know you DVR'd it.
That's funny.
He's weird. He's a great creator. I love how he writes, but he puts his character into things. He'll be in this somewhere along the line. He'll be in the show, but he makes his character go through the hardest time out of everybody.
So his character is going to have a worse fate than ending up wiping the king's ass and being effed by his number one.
I don't know.
Effed by his number one and his number two.
Maybe. I don't know. Otto went through a lot of shit in Sons of Anarchy.
He did. He did.
Like a
and
lot.
And I also feel like it's hard when you have to set up the story of what happened, right. But it was like we did everything in these episodes was just to get us to the point, it feels like, where we could start the
right.
show.
Right, well, because we definitely have to keep, you know, watch a little bit more. But here's the question. Your initial impressions, watching this now, are you more impressed by it because you have the association of Sons of Anarchy?
I am.
Okay.
I'll finish it until it's done just because.
Just because. Okay.
I won't.
His
I don't
second
know.
Piece of work.
I'm going to watch more of it for sure.
So you would watch if he took over Last Man on Earth?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Because it would be an overall better show.
Totally change gears.
It would be an overall better show.
I just twisted that all around. Okay. Well, yeah. We'll see. Okay.
It's actually really premature to think like that, seeing this is really only his second piece of like work. His only, like, Sons of Anarchy was his first thing.
Hey, he could be your Kevin Smith.
He probably will be.
There you go.
Wow, that's kind of cool. Okay, also on my list, we watched Fear the Walking Dead.
Yes, we did.
Now, we are caught up with that. We have watched 3 episodes, right? 4?
No.
Two?
Watched 2 episodes.
Because they were on a bye week.
Right.
The third episode will come on 25 minutes from as the time we are recording this.
Ah, okay. So,
play that game, kids.
So, I don't know that I'm liking Fear the Walking Dead. And I don't think it's for the reasons that most people don't. You hear people talking online about how the acting is not very good in the show. I've heard that. And I've also heard that that it's slow because it's taking so long to, like, builds and things, like, aren't really happening. But for me, I like The Walking Dead, and I like zombie stuff where it's already happened. You know what I mean? Like, we're not watching the world fall apart, because I know you're supposed to think about things like that. That's her neighbor, and that's the person who watched her kids. And like when what's his name, Herschel at the farm, right?
Yes.
And he's got all those people in the barn, and those were his people, and that's, yes, how he feels about them. It doesn't hit me as hard. It hits you hard then, but watch, I don't know, there's just something about the fact like it's just happening. It just makes me think of like my neighbors and like my family and like what would happen. And I don't know, we used to have like a plan, like where we would go and what weapons we would use, and I don't know, now it just makes me like, it's not like I was ever looking forward to the zombie apocalypse, like certainly not, but it was kind of fun to sort of plan, but like, ugh, it would just be terrible. It would be really terrible.
Well, yeah. That's what people do, is they make silly things to be able to cope with things of that nature.
The Walking Dead never shows things that I think of, but a zombie, like, even the way anything has ever shown a zombie, except for I Am Legend, zombies aren't really good at, like, walking and doing things, so I'm going to go to the top of a mountain.
It's a good plan.
Just a random mountain somewhere.
So as long as you're near a mountain, what happens if you get caught in the flatlands?
I won't.
Okay. Okay.
Well, right now you're about 4 hours from a mountain.
Not a problem.
Okay.
So we know that Saucy's plan is to head for the hills. Go to the mountains. Makes sense.
Hilly Saucy. I'm willing to go forward. I've liked the second episode more than I did the first episode, because I don't think the first episode needed the 90-minute runtime with commercials that it had. I've complained in so many places, they spent too much time. Is this going to be a zombie when they turn around? I don't care. That was stupid.
Right.
If the story you want to tell is how this all starts and builds up to it, then do that. Stop effing around with, is there actually a zombie? If there is one, show it. That's fine, because
right,
they're obviously
like, understand that this is people who are watching. There's people who watch The Walking Dead, not just some other random people. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we know. I don't know.
I think he could have took the first 2 episodes.
But it bothers me in general with The Walking Dead is that it's supposed to be our world, but they don't have any zombie reference at all.
No.
It just bothers me.
Why is it supposed to be our world?
It like has all of our same stuff in it. Same building, same
alternate universe.
You have no problem with alternate universes any other time.
So is it an alternate universe?
It's got to be.
It would have to be. They have no zombie reference.
Okay, fine.
Or anything seemingly supernatural.
Well, just not of the dead coming back to life in this nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it has just always sort of struck me as like, well, it's alternate, and that's the only thing that's alternate about it, because everything else is like exactly the same as our world.
So does everything have to be Hill Valley 1985 alternate?
Yes.
Hell Valley? Everything's got to be Hell Valley for you?
Right. No, I'm just kidding. But right. I definitely want to keep going with the show. I just sure.
I just would like them to do their story instead of... The first two episodes could have been one episode in my mind.
Agreed. All right, well, let's talk about something...
Or you take your 90 minutes. Your 90 minutes could have easily been that.
Something littler on my list. When we were at Granny's house, Jaws was on. Dun, we watched Jaws for a while. And that is just so fun. It's like they're on the orca and they're, you know, you just, when you know things are coming, it's so fun on a different level. Like I know I've seen that movie so many more times now than I used to. So now it's like all the tropes that came from that movie, but still just he's throwing the chum over his shoulder and I'm like, watch out. Here it comes. Watch out. It's just, it's definitely fun.
Always a good time. I think that was just, sure, you know, it's Labor Day. Let's show Jaws and Jaws 2 several times over the course of that weekend. So,
so we saw a new episode of South Park.
We did.
Yeah, and this was a PC dude. I don't know what it was called.
PC principal took over.
Yeah, that was a... It's interesting.
Oh, goodness.
South Park, it's just, it's like, it always has been very heavy-handed with making its point, but it was definitely a heavy-handed episode.
Well, it's the only way you can look at these things sometimes, you know, no matter how you want to look at the world, sometimes you have to, okay, let's take your idea and your thought process and completely run with it to the nth degree. This is what that is. And yeah, that's funny because it's pointing out the ridiculous with the sublimely ridiculous.
Yeah. When's the last time South Park has had a story arc of several episodes that wasn't just about a current event?
Imagination Land.
The one that was Game of Thrones, but it was about Black Friday at the malls. It's somewhat topical. It comes back again and again.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
That was a decent episode.
We know.
Except for, see, I had never done anything Game of Thrones until after I had seen that episode.
Oh. You missed quite a few jokes that way.
Well, yeah, but like, there really aren't that many wieners in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but there kind of are at some points. There used to be more. Like, the first season had a lot of wieners.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember seeing that many wieners.
That's because it's not really that big a deal, and people just want to think that it is.
Yeah. It was a big deal when it was right on the air at the first. So, we also played some Mario Party and Mario Kart, which was
sure
did.
Fun.
Yeah. And Doctor Who.
Woo, yes.
So, we saw the first episode of Doctor Who, and...
Maybe the new season?
Yeah, pretty much. So, okay, so spoilers in case you haven't seen it, but go watch it right now and then come back.
You have to at this
point. So we are talking spoilers. It starts out with a war and there's this kid, and except definitely an anachronistic kind of war because it looked like these like old style planes, right?
Shooting
shooting lasers. Okay, so that's weird.
How many times before you realized, no, he's really saying handmines?
Right. I thought he was saying landmines.
I was like, wait, no, landmines. He's saying landmines because he's going accent, like, you know, bigger accent. Right. I was like, no, he's saying handmines. He's saying handmines. Yeah, that's how that
works. Yeah, that's an alternate universe right there.
No, it's a different planet.
I know. But that's how I want my alternate universe. It's very, very alternate.
Okay.
And so, you know, we see a kid and the doctor's going to save the kid. And it makes sense. That's what the doctor does. He sees a kid, he saves the kid. He was in distress and he helped him out. And then the kid is Mother Effin Davros.
Dear God, I squeed.
You gasped out loud.
I did.
You went, and like covered your hands. It was like fanboy Billy Flynn.
I was not expecting that in any capacity. Was I expecting that? Because dear God, that just floored me. Because
you knew it was something to do with the Daleks. This episode was so for the fans of the original Doctor Who series, like not the fans that are just New Who, or maybe to pull some New Who into some of the classic Who. I don't know.
I think it was equally for both.
Yeah.
You know,
I just
because even fans of New Who, like myself, know who Davros is.
Right.
We don't have a backstory, but neither did you, apparently.
Well, how Davros came about.
The backstory.
But dude, I mean, I first met Davros with the Fourth Doctor with Tom Baker.
Right.
In Genesis of the Daleks. And that was the first time I saw him. So, I mean, I've known about him since I was in the fifth grade.
Right, but you didn't know this aspect.
Part. No.
So it was just as new. See, sure. I knew who he was when he said Davros. I'm like, oh, okay, that's the guy who created the Daleks. It wasn't as big to me, but nothing on Doctor Who is ever going to be as big to me as it is to
I understand
you.
It because to me,
Because that's your thing.
Because to me, here's what happened. He said that, I'm Davros. He said that, and I immediately went, oh, my dear effing God, this is the moment he meets Davros as a kid, and he's not going to save him, and now, and this is why he created the Daleks, and that's why the Time War happened to begin with. Holy Jesus, he's going to be really...
caused all of that.
Yeah, just like he caused the Time War. Oh my God. Oh my God. So I had like this big, huge, several threads going.
See, I don't see why, and I know we're jumping all around. We're not going in any kind of chronological order. I don't see why he didn't just actually save him. And so, okay, at the end of the episode, and I know, like I said, jumping around, he goes back to, okay, fine. So by leaving Davros there, I created Davros. Fine. I'm just going to go back in time and I'm going to kill him. He takes, you know, and they talk about scenes from the next, you know, that's what he's going to do. He's going to rip off the Dalek stalk and he's going to shoot him with his own Dalek weapon. I don't think that's what actually happens. I think he decides to save him, but then he still does all the bad things he does.
If someone who knew the future pointed out a child to you and told you that child would grow up to be totally evil, to be a ruthless dictator who would destroy millions of lives, could you then kill that child? Asked the doctor. In Genesis of the Daleks.
Right, and they showed that clip.
They showed that clip. Which
they also showed a Colin Baker clip.
They did. I loved that. I loved that we got to see that. It was really cool. I was like, yeah, fine. We got a bit. Resurrection of the Daleks was Peter Davison. Revelation of the Daleks is Colin Baker. Remember to the Doctor of the Daleks is Sylvester McCoy. And then we even got a little bit of Tennant with the Stolen Earth.
Yeah, but the Doctor should know better than anybody that if you go back in time and you mess with something that already happened, it's going to have huge ramifications. It could be somebody even worse that comes along. You know, like, that's why you don't go kill Hitler. You can't kill Hitler. Not only was, you know, fixed points in time or whatever, but you just, you never know if somebody else could step up in his place that would be even worse.
But what if that's the doctor meeting him as a child, who's to say that the doctor never saved him to start with, is how he probably justified it to himself if he didn't, because what this episode did so well is take a look at the doctor's constant need to save others and balance that against his absolute hatred for the Daleks.
But we see that he didn't save Davros. In the first clip, we see him turn away and get in the TARDIS and leave him there.
I know that. Right. That's my point.
So, wow.
But see, in his other incarnations, he's already played out later with Davros and the Daleks.
Right.
Being the first time, if you want to make an excuse for yourself, you can be like, oh, well, of course I never saved you. That's what just happened and just went away because... You don't understand his hatred for the Daleks.
Like him going, oh, well, okay, now I see why you're such a shit.
I just think that, yeah, it was his way of just giving himself an excuse because it was, as soon as he said Davros, like I said, I knew he was turning around. There was no question in my mind. He was turning around. And that's huge.
And it's like, the doctor might be all about love, but you're right, but not when it comes to the Daleks.
Nope.
Well, I think you're both missing something. The doctor has never been rational. And the thing about it is the doctor is more human than he is Time Lord. He does stupid shit when he's grief-stricken. And he's grief-stricken at least once or twice a season.
Sure.
So now he's going to go back in time and try to like kill Davros because he's grief-stricken. He didn't save Davros because he's grief-stricken. The doctor is not really a good person. He is, but he isn't. He's really a prick.
Sometimes.
But he's an entertaining prick, and sometimes he does nice things. I like to think that sometimes I'm kind of like the doctor.
You really need to see Colin Baker's run as the doctor. I think you'd appreciate it.
Plus, he had a sweet car. Bessie?
You're going back to the third doctor.
That wasn't Colin Baker. That was...
It was John Pertwee.
It was a sweet car.
John Pertwee had that car.
Anyway, but it was a great episode of Doctor Who.
It was.
Also, on my list, I did some reading. It's young adult author Brandon Sanderson, and it's science fiction. The first one was called Steelheart, and the second one was Firefight. And it's about like people who get superpowers, but with the superpowers comes this like kind of evil inherent in it. Like it corrupts. As soon as you get the power, they're all corrupt, and they're all like every time you use your power, it makes you even more corrupt and evil. And it's just, but it's a very interesting world. Not everybody got the superpowers, only some people did, and like how they have chosen to live their lives. And it's about like a rebel who was fighting against them. It was really very interesting. So the first one is Steelheart, Firefight. The third one comes out in 2016. I did not realize. I thought I told the librarians at my school that I needed a series that was complete because I hate waiting for a book to come out. I hate like knowing about. I mean, okay, yeah, sort of. You get the anticipation and like the, ooh, it's coming out and it's going
to
be awesome.
You don't like to wait for anything. And it makes me so angry. We have to marathon everything we ever watch and you have to read everything that ever exists. I just don't even
know. I do. I want it now and I want it all. So I'm waiting for, I think it's March or February to get the next installment.
Queen song I should be playing right now.
Or Veruca Salt or something like that. Sure. Yeah. Oh, Star Wars toys are out in stores, and we got an R2-D2 plush for the baby, and she loves it. Every time it goes, beep, 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 and she just, like, cracks up all the time.
She does enjoy it a lot.
So MJ is going to be a Star Wars geek, and that has been my Geeky Week.
And that rhymed. See if you can do better than that. Yo.
So I've been watching, continuing my run of Let's Watch all the really good Westerns that were ever made.
Sure.
And some of the bad ones. We'll talk about those in a moment.
If you're thinking about the ones I think you're thinking about, I wouldn't say bad so much as, eh.
So we watched You Know My Name with Sam Elliott. And this one, the description is geared as a Western. You read it and you're like, that's a Western. But what you come to find out is, it's sort of like The Shootist in the aspect of, you get to see this like aging Wild West hero go to kind of a new age at that time town. They had Model A's and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, that was pretty cool.
I didn't like it. It was too modern for my Western.
Like, you should have an old horse.
And the whole movie, the only person who rode a horse religiously through the movie was the Old West lawman hero.
Well, that's kind of appropriate.
Yeah, it was they ripped him out of a Western movie and put him into a fake gangsta movie.
in a way, yeah. It really was. There was cocaine in it.
Sure, like, cocaine cowboys.
Like, well, I understand, but like there was a lot of cocaine. It was almost prohibition times. I feel like it was prohibition times.
And that's how there was cocaine,
right? So not that great. Not a bad time, but not that great as far as a Western. Bad Company, which is really really good. You get to see all these draft dodgers, these little kids running from like the Union or the Confederate Army. They get together and they're like running around, ragtag group of guys trying to get out west, but they're stealing from people and like it's nuts. I did Bite the Bullet with Gene Hackman was in this one, and he rides a horse 700 miles in a long distance race. It's a great film. And it kind of seems to me like a prequel of Hidalgo in the sense of, like, it talks about him. He's going to race the horse, and it's a long distance race, and he's on a Bronco, which Hidalgo was a Mustang. And then they talk about, originally, if you won the race, you got $2,000. After they started the race, it got so much publicity because there were so many different people. There was Englishmen racing, a bunch of different people were racing. Guy from Mexico came up and was racing. It was cool. Which actually, the film got its name because of the guy from Mexico, which is interesting. But no, it was really close to Hidalgo because the winner gets to go work with Bill Cody's Wild West show. Which in the opening of Hidalgo, you see Hugh Jackman, who played,
Viggo Mortensen.
Oh, it was Viggo Mortensen, who played the lead in Hidalgo. He was working for Bill Cody.
Nice. So there you go.
Other than that, I've been doing a bunch of like composting and harvesting my fall medicinal herbs and yucca rope making. Made a lot of rope.
Because, you know, we're going to have to climb out of pits soon.
I don't know. Okay. It's out in the backyard. I wanted to do it, so might as well.
It's a good keep your hands busy kind of
activity. It's kind of like knitting. People knit. I make rope out of yucca. And apparently it's animal documentary season because me and the National Geographic Channel have been pretty tight.
Nice.
Yeah. That's not it.
You're going to leave out, aren't you?
Yeah, I was almost going to. We watched the original Lone Ranger.
Yes.
The first two of them.
Yes.
I think there are more after that.
No.
No.
They only made two with Clayton Moore and Jay Silverheels.
Wow.
These are the two movies.
The two original.
At the end of the series run. So that's what's really weird about this is that neither one of these films are an origin story. It's just like it's a full-length movie adventure with the Lone Ranger.
They're pretty good.
Well.
For the time, they're pretty great, I think. Yeah. Some of the stuff was pretty, I guess, original for the time. Now, like, some of the acting, like older movies, sometimes can be fails a little bit. I don't like how they portray Tonto at all.
You got to understand, though, that was huge steps in intolerance.
I know. The Tonto. I know. I mean, but yeah. At the same time, it was just, it really irked me.
I prefer him to Johnny Depp any day of the week.
I don't know yet. We haven't seen it.
I've seen a bird on his head.
Right?
It's going to take a lot. I'll be willing to give it a shot. But Jay Silverhill's had a quiet dignity to
but,
him.
But we that have the newer role. One required.
We do.
Acquired by recording.
Because I'm trying to find.
I do want to watch that too, the newer one.
I'm also trying to find the 79 version that was made by the guy who still owned the rights to the Lone Ranger when this was made. The guy who originally made Clayton Moore stop wearing the mask and appearing as the Lone Ranger and then had that overturned in court. The guy who still had it that stars Mr. Kilton Spilsbury. So that tells you how well this movie did.
Wow.
It is an overlong, too serious in my opinion, from when I remember the last time I saw it, but it tells the overall story of the Lone Ranger, the whole thing with the Rangers themselves, they're getting shot, Tonto fighting him. I mean, it tells the story. Wow. It's an origin story. Just like the new one with Johnny Depp is, but
we'll see.
My problem with the second of the Clayton Moore films, and you had this problem at the time too, it's called, like, what is it called? Lone Ranger and the Lost City of Gold. But it specifically mentions a lost city, which I do believe is made of gold. And in the film, like, that's a big mystery. Like, we figure that out. Like, what's going on with what the crooks are doing is because of this.
It was silver.
Silver. That's what so we're waiting this whole damn movie. We know there's a... we know it. It's in the title.
Yeah,
so
the Lost City. We know that there's a lost city.
But we kept waiting for the characters to figure out that there was one.
The Lone Ranger figures out these amulets that are made out of silver. There, boom.
Yeah, yeah.
It's over. Movie over.
Wow.
Done.
So that was a little... But that was your time? That was your thing? That's your week?
I did catch the first episode of Live Free or Die, which catalogs the lives of four families that are doing the whole homesteading, primal living type thing. There's a guy who's in the swamplands of Georgia. There's North Carolina, two North Carolina people, and South Carolina people. And I feel like there's a more northern set, but it's just the first episode, so okay. I'm still getting introduced with the characters. Pretty good so far.
All right, let's see. So let's cross off some games real quick. Mobile games, because apps, the Amazon Underground thing. Mm-hmm. I have two games I'm currently playing that are free games. Sonic Dash and Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Sonic Dash is an endless runner game, but it's Sonic and it fits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It looks good. It looks really cool and it plays kind of like how I want a Sonic game to play. I run for a while and then die, then I go on to do something else with my life.
You get some coins along the way.
Mission Impossible is pretty decent third-person shooter, but the stages are a bit short. It's one of these things where it's like, it's free, I'll play it for a while, we'll see how it goes. Gravity Falls had some new episodes. I love this show. You should be watching this show for all the crazy things that happen in it.
This show has grown on me, yes.
Nice, thank you, good. Oh, yeah, here's a game. Amazing Spider-Man 2 Electric Boogaloo. Remember that one?
Yeah, I caught you playing that a couple times.
Yeah, and again, it's based on the second film. It's better than the second film. It's better than either one of those movies. It has a lot more backstory. And while playing it, it made me think, I know the problem with Spider-Man movies. Spider-Man shouldn't be in movies. Spider-Man should be a TV show. Peter Parker's life is a soap opera. It always has been. And you could tell some of these storylines that they try to jam into one film, you know, over a season, over a few episodes even. You know, we've got the money now. You can do it. Throw some money behind it and make a damn decent Spider-Man TV series. I think that would rock. Come on, Netflix. Well, there was my pitch. I tried.
Yeah.
I tried very hard to make that happen. I watched the Nintendo World Championships.
Oh.
That was, they haven't done one in like 25 years. We talked about this on the Daily Show.
Peter Dinklage and
No, they were not there.
No?
It's an interesting way of doing it. They had 16 people that started, and they had like a last chance kitchen thing happen. So you started out...
Those of you who watch Top Chef.
Yeah. They started off by playing Splatoon, and the four people with the lowest scores went into the underground and had to play The Legend of Zelda. It was a speed run. The first person to finish the first level stays. The rest go home. Then they did... The second one was Battle Ball. It was a brand new game. It's soccer that you play inside of mechs and you shoot the soccer ball with lasers to move it. That's how you do it. It's a little crazy. And the people didn't do so well there. Went for a speed run on Super Metroid. Okay. Then round three is Mario Kart. And the people that don't make it played on 200 CCs, by the way. Ending with Mute City. So people are just flying off the track. Oh, it's ridiculous. The people that didn't make it from there went to Balloon Fight. Then you had four people left who played Super Smash Brothers, and the top two played Super Mario Maker, which had not come out yet, playing levels designed by Nintendo programmers. which were rather insane. And at the end, a nice gold Mario trophy to the winner. Miyamoto comes out. I'm sorry, I watched it. It was fun.
No, that does sound like fun. Right up your alley.
Deal with it. Deal with it. It certainly was.
I was just thinking as you were talking a way that we could sort of have our own mini version of it at home and invite some people over and do our own like Nintendo war.
We could do that.
Hook up the 64.
Oh, you want to go crazy.
I'm saying all things Nintendo.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about it. We also watched The Omen. Apparently, you had seen the remake of The Omen.
But not the original.
Which just, I don't understand, but that's okay. How did you enjoy, did you enjoy The Omen, I should say?
I enjoyed The Omen original more than the remake, okay. But as a movie, I'm not thrilled.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, I mean, it was all right, but...
For me, this is a movie that used to come on every Halloween. It was a big deal that the network showed it.
Possession and the Spawn of Satan isn't really a big, like... surprise or big deal to me because it's been done so many times. You see it all over the place. Cartoons, okay. TV shows.
Okay, I guess it has been done.
Like it's to my generation, to my age, to me, it's just been kind of like degeneralized.
Okay, that's fine. That's all right. That's why I did introduce you to a damn fine movie that you flippin' loved, 1114.
1114 was one of the greatest movies that I've seen. It's the greatest movie I've seen this year.
Really? Outstanding.
It was a pretty good movie.
It's a fantastic film. If you've never seen this, a grown-up Henry Thomas, Elliot from E.T., is driving along, and at 11:14, something hits his car. And we get to see a couple of people and what happens when they get to 11:14, one overall multi-angled connected story movie.
Those are always, if when done right, those are very enjoyable.
Done quite right in the case of 11:14. And here, and hey, another way to get you to watch it if you haven't seen it, Patrick Swayze's in it. There you go. There it is. Done. A lock. We also opened the door correctly on the world of Kevin Smith for you.
We have.
We did. Whereby we sat down and watched probably my favorite movie. I know it's not the best movie in the world. I know that. But probably my favorite movie, Clerks.
Yeah, and Spencer had committed the heinous sin of seeing Clerks 2 first.
I was so bothered by this
but for that was
so
before
long.
We got to
I was
hit
so
our hands
bothered
on him.
By it, too. Still bothered by it. I don't ever want to see Clerks 2 again.
I do.
I just don't. I'll watch it. I'll watch it okay. One more time.
It's if you had seen Clerks however many years ago, 20 or whatever, and then saw Clerks 2, you'd have a different level of appreciation for it.
Honestly,
you know,
yes.
I like vulgar things. I have a mouth like a sailor. And that movie was too vulgar for me.
It's the least amount of the least amount of changes the MPAA ever gave him.
I know.
Ever.
And I don't understand it, which goes to show you that each one of us are morally different.
Was it the bestiality?
Yeah. I
can't stand it. Interspecies erotica.
It really bothers me.
On purpose.
Yeah. Interspecies
even
erotica.
They were pretending. Did anybody think how that donkey felt getting grinded up against?
That donkey
bullshit.
Did professional donkey shows before. I have no idea if that's true or not.
I don't
want to
talk about it.
I have no idea if that's true. Well, we're not. We were talking about Clerks. You're the one that brought up
just
the other
because
film.
You trained a donkey to allow you to abuse it doesn't mean you can, doesn't mean you should. Shame on Kevin Smith for allowing it to happen in a film. Other than that, he's a great guy. Good movies.
Did not expect the world to go there. So yeah, Clerks is one of my favorite movies. It has people that I love very much in them, and we always have a good time. And apparently it takes him to a bad, bad place.
Clerks 2.
Well, saying Clerks brought him there, so there we go. So then Mallrats happened.
Right.
Mallrats is funny.
I love that movie.
What made you happy about it? What was the greatest part of the movie?
Smoochie Moochie, man. Smoochie
Moochie.
And now you know the $15... or is that from Clerks?
That's from
neither one.
Oh wait, no,
that's
yeah,
from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
See, he knows that. Isn't that weird that he knows that? It's crazy. Did you see that one too?
I've seen most of that one.
That's just so wrong. I don't understand that. I knew someone back when Jay and Silent Bob came out was going to theaters. She worked with us. You remember her? You don't like her? Neither did I really. But she's like, "Oh yeah, I'm going to go see it." I'm like, "Oh, and so here's a Kevin Smith fan." I'm thinking, "I get to talk to you." And she's like, "Oh, I haven't seen any." Like what? This was the first one.
They didn't
she
went to
the Strike
theater.
Back in the theater.
She went to the theater to see it, though. I mean, she intentionally paid and planned to spend money to go see a movie that was the fourth of a series she had never seen.
Well, yeah, but nobody knew. They didn't market it as...
It's called Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. It referenced every Kevin Smith movie. It said that it was closing the chapter on the View Askew universe.
True enough.
I'm sure you had a good time
like,
even
I watched
without the
it,
connection.
It's a complete story.
Yeah, I mean, you
and
can...
you don't really need to know Jay and Silent Bob because Jay and Silent Bob are so transparent, and that's the genius, that they're so transparent that they just go on.
Yep.
Not sure what that means, but that's cool. I'm glad you had a good time with it. So, yeah, we had a good time watching crazy things like that.
You know, there's a million fine-looking women in the world, too, but they don't all bring lasagna at work. Most of them just cheat on you.
Kevin Smith has the most interesting things for characters to say, and I've always enjoyed that immensely. Let's see, is there anything else on my list? Oh my goodness. Well, there's got to be stuff that I have left out as well, but for the moment, I'm pretty sure that would be the end of my Geeky Week.
From Alderaan to Krypton, from Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor, from their lips to your basement, I mean to your underground lair, it's GRD News.
Indeed it is, and we do have news.
We do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard about a pub crawl.
Yeah, the pub crawl is Saturday, November 7th. It's going to be so much fun. We'll be starting at 8 o'clock at Cheney, as we always do, and traveling around the town of Richmond, Virginia. If you haven't already made plans, you totally should. If you need any help as far as recommendations for a hotel, I mean, obviously you have like, I don't know, maps on your computer, but if you need help,
look it up.
No, I'm just saying, you can always message me, flintstress@geekradiodaily.com. I will happily help you plan your trip to Richmond. It's a super fun town, and we are going to have so much fun at the pub crawl.
It's a super fun time in this town, no matter what happened this weekend. No matter what happened right. this weekend at all. Oh, I don't think you know about the car.
No.
A car speeding very fast broke through a barrier and was on the road of the bike race.
Oh, God. Richmond.
Oh, Richmond. That's why we should drink. So come drink with us. It'll be a fantastic and fun time. And hey, why not pick up an app? That'll be fantastic. You can carry us with you wherever you go and even have a bell available at any time that you may need it. And thank you, Patreon folks. Again, I never say thank you enough to you guys. We're going to be getting some new cables soon, which we can, and other stuff that we can, thanks to you. So thank you so much. If you like us, throw some change our way. We'd say... We'd have to say something really cool, though. I mean, I know what we'd say.
You're special, man. You reach down, and you touch it by the heart.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
And hey, everybody, you might remember that the last time that we had the show, we had author Bill Bloom on, and he talked about his new book, and we said that the 13th caller would win a prize. So I'm going to say something else about that, but let's hear from the 13th caller.
Yeah, I was calling regarding the contest, space, trunk space, space junk, junk in the trunk. Yeah, whatever. You got it. Bye.
Okay. Well, that is the 13th caller, and that would be our winner if...
Right.
If...
Was that a serious call, or was that someone goofing on it?
Well, the key words were... Trunk in the trunk or trunk space.
That's true. Okay.
So
okay.
He technically is the winner.
Okay.
You have until the next show to call us back and actually tell us your name.
Oh, you kind of
sounded like my buddy Frank.
Really? You think it's Frank? Hey, Frank, if that's you.
Frank.
So we didn't get an email either?
No.
And there was no...
So
we have a winner, but we don't know who it is.
Right. Now, if he doesn't call us back before the next show,
we'll give it to
one of our other winners.
Nice.
So, our other callers. Right. But yes, he is the winner. And we want to thank Bill Bloom again for coming on the show. He was awesome. And yeah, we'll give that book away as soon as you tell us who the heck you are.
Fantastic.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed we do. Belle and her entourage. I've been catching up with American Horror Story, both Coven and Freak Show. All I can say is, wow, that is screwed up. How many storylines can there be in one show?
Right?
If I was not watching them one after another, I do not think I could keep up. The show still seems to push the boundaries of television unless I'm watching versions from Fox not telecasted in America. Does it seem like the season should be a few episodes longer? What character could show up in the next installment? Hotel, like Pepper and Freak Show. So until we can connect together at stayathome.com, make mine... geekradiodaily.com. Ah, Belle, you're a music to my ears. Best Rob. Well, that's from Rob. Well, thank you. First off, yeah, I don't know how many they can throw in together, but so here's my next question. Did you see the first season? Because you just mentioned those two. Because if you really want to tie stuff together, wow, but especially now. Should there be a few more episodes per season? I'm going to say no.
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 No. But see, I need to go back and watch Coven.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure I jumped into Coven a couple episodes.
Oh, that's possible. That is possible.
And didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. But I watched Freak Show, and Freak Show drew me in. And now I've got to watch all of them.
Yeah, because the first season is awesome. And then Asylum. Whoa, craziness. Craziness. So who do you think could show up in the next installment? Let's see, you've only watched...
Anybody.
You've only watched the last... It's true. Anybody could. But see, I think we need to get somebody from season one... And so I'm trying to remember
Well, it's going
to
be...
Sorry for spoilers, but I'm trying to remember who was live at the end of season one. Dear God, a lot of people die in the show. I don't know if you've noticed that as you've been watching it.
Yeah.
A few people die. You know who I'd like to see come back from season one? I want to see the real estate agent come back. There you go. There's a story still waiting to be told. Moving on. Dear guys, I have loved every episode of your podcast, and I have one thing to say. For some reason, I keep thinking it's T. Morris doing the commercials for Scott Sigler, as in I see him when I hear Scott Sigler's voice. That's from Jonathan in Birmingham. I don't know what to tell you there, sir. That sounds like to me you have a fixation.
A little bit of an unhealthy relationship going
on. With Mr. T. Morris there, and that you see him in the things that you love, because I'm pretty sure I remember you being a pretty big Scott Sigler fan, but for some reason you want to see him as T. Morris. I recommend that you contact T. Morris and tell him that directly, much like AA and other forms of therapy. You've got to approach the person and apologize to them in person. And I think it would make an excellent podcast. So I believe we also have voicemails from people that will say their name.
On this next one that you're about to play, this first voicemail you're about to play, it really could have also lived in your Geeky Sweek, because you left out a huge thing for your Geeky Sweek. Everyone, Billy Flynn has made his way around the earth one more time. Wait, you didn't make your way around the earth. Happy birthday, Billy Flynn. A lot of people called to tell you.
What?
Congratulations. Cthulhu has passed you by for another year. Enjoy.
Good morning, Mr. Flynn. Do I expect you to talk? No, I expect you to have a happy birthday.
Hey, I hear there's someone who has a birthday. This is Mildred Katie, and this is your birthday song. It isn't very long. Hey! Flynn! Oh, it's your birthday, Flynn! It's also my mom's birthday. Hooray!
Woo, your mom!
So in your honor, I'm going to her house instead.
That's cool.
Huzzah!
And I'm sick, so at least you can have a nice day.
Hooray! Happy birthday!
Happy birthday.
Bye, Flynn.
Bye. Hey, it's Stuart from the Flash Bulb Podcast. Just calling in to wish Billy a happy birthday. Have a good one, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, Flynn, Ryan here. So a little birdie on the social media said something about, it's Billy Flynn's birthday today. And I'm like, that's nice, CIA. So got a call, say, happy birthday, Flynn.
Thanks for bringing the sexy
happy
voice.
Happy Flynn Day. This is Nuke Josh wishing Billy Flynn a happy birthday. And I hope everyone has a happy Flynn Day. Bye.
I think everyone
hey,
did.
Hey, this is Hugh from the Way of the Buffalo Podcast. Just calling in to wish Billy a happy birthday. So, yeah, that's about all I got. Happy birthday. Have a good one. And party hard. Bye.
Hey, Billy. This is Indigo calling. Wanted to wish you a happy birthday. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you.
Hey, B. It's Shay. Just remember, we may have to grow older, but we don't have to grow up. So happy birthday and all the best wishes for the coming year. Bye.
Aw, that's incredibly sweet. That's I had no idea that happened. Because you control all the voicemail stuff. That's crazy. I had no idea.
Happy birthday, Billy Flynn.
Thank you. Wow. I don't know what to say. Maybe I should play another voicemail so I can take time to compose myself.
Hey, guys. This is the doctor. Long time no talk. I'm just calling in because it has just become incredibly apparent to me that I need to listen to your shows on a more regular basis.
Well,
I'll give
shouldn't
you an
everyone?
Idea of what I'm talking about. I was listening to The Daily Show trying to catch up with backlogged episodes, and you guys started talking about how much money the movies had brought in over the weekend. And one of the movies you talked about was The Duff. And I thought to myself, wait a second, is The Duff still in theaters? I thought I saw that in Redbox just recently. And I have. That's how long it's been since I listened to a daily episode, since The Duff was in theaters. So until you guys start talking about Avengers Age of Ultron and I catch up with that, make mine Geek Radio Daily.
Well, hopefully you caught our review of it or are mentioning it during the summer movie episode. But thanks. Hey, thanks for dropping by. Do appreciate it. Longtime fan. And I distinctly remember shooting you in laser tag. It was awesome. So I didn't think about my birthday because I don't normally think about my birthday. So I didn't consider that to be completely geeky, as I had nothing to do with it whatsoever.
Well, you had a geeky toy and then you had to bring it back.
That's true. That's true. So I did get, sorry about this to go on a dovetail. I did get the Air Hog Millennium Falcon. And the other day I plugged it up and I charged it all up and I'm ready to do it. And, you know, the baby's here and I'm showing her the stuff and she sees Millennium Falcon. That's cool. And the controller, of course, she wants that and blah, blah, blah. And I set it down and I go to fly it. And then it makes a sound that she can't stand at all. So the blade spinning around, she does not like. She does not
like the sound of it. Nothing
at all. She's not a big fan of the vacuum cleaner. She's not a big fan of the mixer.
Which is weird because when she was a small baby, maybe a month or two old, I would vacuum around her. I would put her in her little bouncy seat, and I would sit her in the floor in front of the TV.
And it's just like the white noise machine that she sleeps to. She sleeps to a white noise machine.
But now it bothers her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's weird. So
she's such a dog in some ways.
In some ways, yeah, because she does love meat. So sure does. I had to pack that back up because that's got to go back because it's not really an outdoor flying one. It's indoor, and it's a tricky one to fly anyway, and it's loud, and the baby doesn't like it. So I'll find something else. So, yeah. So, if you'd like to drop us a note, please do. As always, it's just send a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. It's easy enough. Or drop yourself a voicemail like all these fine folks did to
510-GRD-CROW.
I'm sorry, that's where?
510-GRD-CROW.
I can't believe how many people call.
Apes don't read philosophy.
Yes, they do, Otto. They just don't understand it.
It's all right. You don't have to understand to be entertained and fulfilled. And entertaining you and fulfilling you without you understanding is the goal and the mission of Podiobooks.com. So why not stop by there when you're done tonight, today, whenever you're listening to this. Could be early morning, I don't know. And pick yourself up something fantastic. They have all kinds of things today, including...
Like The Trimorphs by Gillian Andrews. It's science fiction young adult in the Ammonite Galaxy series. It's book 7. So Six and Grace are in grave danger, but the Morphics can't be reached. They are far, far away in the Luzon Great Void. It'll be down to the next generation to travel into the void to get help. But even with the help of the Canths, will they succeed in finding the Morphics? And will they be in time, or will they all be forced into a last desperate cataclysmic confrontation? Ooh, you'll find out if you read The Trimorphs, Book 7.
The Heaven Field by Ian G. Holmey, the fourth and final installment of the Heaven Field story. The Heaven Field is a dark science fiction thriller set with a British experimental research facility involving clandestine government agencies, supernatural forces, and alternate realities.
Astria Book 3, The Wanderer's Curse, is out. That is by Seymour Hamilton. It is Book 3 in the Astria trilogy, so you know what that means. It's the conclusion. Lindsay takes Astria, Cam, Damon, and Arnim to Matis, only to discover much has changed since she left home. Suspicion and distrust surround them. Astria and Lindley begin to resolve their difficulties, but a gossipy old man on a horse misrepresents his past, and all five must flee aboard Arnim's boat. Once outside the shelter of the hills surrounding Matis, the group discovers that the men of the sea are searching for their navigation stones, and they think the village where Astria was born has them. Astria must arrive in time to avert a massacre. When the great black ship reaches the headlands on the fjord, Astria must confront the worst and best aspects of his inheritance before he can unravel his past and lift the Wanderer's curse. So that and so much more is all available over at podiobooks.com. So kick back and we will reveal. No. So kick back and in a moment we will revel in the fantastic season of Summer 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Emergency. Batman speaking. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news.
The biggest.
Tell them, Robin.
Holy superlatives, Batman. It's really exciting.
Greetings, citizens. Join me, your old bat chum, John S. Drew, on my journey to discover what it is I love about the classic 1966 Batman television series on the Batcave podcast. Each episode, I'm joined by a guest host, as we review the classic television series. There's a new episode every 2 weeks. Same bat time, same bat channel on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at thebatcavepodcast.com.
Holy memoranda, folks. Make a note not to miss it.
Good thinking, Robin.
I am Colin Baker, and you lucky people are listening to Geek Radio Daily, every day, daily.
A toast.
establishing me as the wealthy, successful protagonist. Who is handsome?
Member of a grandparent.
Ambient sound. Talking to
people. Friendly concern that something may be missing from your life.
Confidence that nothing is missing in my life.
Interrupted statement about...
Reassurance that my good fortune will not waver.
Introduction of characters suffering from the most topical disability of the present year. Said retard is now under your custody.
My catchphrase!
Frustration with these new circumstances.
Admiration at your seeming selflessness.
Interest in your bold rejection of social norms as evidenced by your dyed hair.
My name.
My name.
Catchphrase!
Relief at having found meaning in my life.
Friendly concern that a string of heightened and seemingly unrelated plots may now arise.
Dude.
From famous and or foreign director.
Differences are surfacing between us.
Accusations about your sexuality.
Suspicion that a character once thought trustworthy may not be trustworthy. Also, I've got to use tough love to help this Latin American teenager believe in himself. Also, I must prove innocent this incredibly humble human male. Also, I've decided to fight with the Native American metaphor against the American military metaphor.
Welcome back. GeoDice Weekly, episode 256.
I remembered.
Look at fall movies, which used to be Oscar bait season. We used to joke about this all the time, that this is the kind of movies you would bring out to try to tempt the Academy with. Things like
Winter's Bone.
That film kind has of not yet been rated.
You know, those.
Winter's Bone.
But looking over this list, did you notice how many, like, almost summer movies are on the list now? Like, things that would be part of this?
Yeah, okay. But we start with Johnny Depp's tour de force performance.
True.
In, as Whitey Bulger, the Boston gangster, in, I don't know why I'm talking like that, sorry, in Black Mass. And that just came out this weekend, and I haven't seen how it did in the theater so far. But everybody's talking about his performance. And
well,
how
check out
like
tomorrow's Daily Show.
Yeah.
You'll know how it did then. Yeah, that's fantastic. What is this other thing that came out this weekend? Sicario? I've never even heard of this. We had to have talked about it because it came out. And I don't remember us mentioning this movie at all with Emily Blunt.
We did.
She's got a gun. I just don't remember it, you know? It's
yeah, she's an FBI agent. I kind of like her being cast in these like fierce roles, much cool. Better than the most recent musical she did. But you know what I mean. It's not that it's not good, but it's just she's a very she's a good actress at doing lots of different things. Versatile. That's what I was looking for.
Now, so according to my list, nothing comes out until the 30th.
The Walk.
Isn't that weird? The Walk. Yeah, The Walk comes out almost 12 days later. So Joseph Gordon-Levitt is playing Philippe Petit, who you know if you saw Man on Wire, the documentary about this, and now they've made a movie about it. So, sure, Robert Zemeckis, heavy.
Yeah, no, I mean, it looks weird. I don't know. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is all about doing different things to his face and to make him look different in movies. It could be good. I don't know, but I don't see us ever, there's nothing about this that's like catching me. It's going, oh, I really want to watch this.
The documentary was good. Having seen the documentary, I don't know that I need to see this because I saw the real thing, kind of. So, weird. What is this? Freeheld on October 2nd with Ellen Page and Julianne Moore.
Ellen Page has been trying to get this movie made for a long time.
Yeah, it's a true story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. The New Jersey police officer with terminal cancer fighting the Board of Freeholders to pass her pension because, hey, she's a woman.
Yeah.
Good job on there. Legend, which is not a remake of the Tom Cruise, Tim Curry fantastic fairy tale.
No,
is a Tom Hardy and Emily Browning thing set in 1960s London with gangsters. So that's all up your alley there, Saucy.
Yeah, I'm excited for this.
It's about the craze.
Right.
They made a movie about this in the 80s.
Yeah. I kind of like to at least give something a chance where somebody is playing two different roles.
It takes a lot of
different things. Because it's hard. That's why I like Orphan Black so much, because she's so talented. She can do all of those different like styles and genres of things.
Complete transformations in some
right
instances.
And this one Tom Hardy is playing both the gangster and his gay twin.
Yeah,
so
it's definitely gonna pretty be interesting.
It'd be interesting to compare this one to the original one, which starred I want to say the lead singer from Spandau Ballet. the son who did the song True. I swear to you, if you look this up, I know this much is true. Yes, and come and see Robbie and what's her face's wedding and the wedding singer. Yeah, I believe the lead singer that played the guy. So The Martian, the film that I have to see.
Yeah, this does look really good. So Matt Damon is out in the and as part of the team on Mars, and they're going to leave or something, and they go out on a mission and think he's dead. And they go and they leave, and then, not dead.
Nope. And I'm going to survive until you come get me, because I'm Matt Damon. Ridley Scott's making it. It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be visually gorgeous,
I feel very bad that I have not read the book, because it's based
on a book.
I know. I'm just saying that I feel bad I haven't read it before this. So what about the next weekend?
Then we have Pan.
I'm not even excited about this.
They need to leave Peter Pan alone. They've done it. It was good. They did Hook. Great movie. They did Disney's version of Peter Pan. Great movie. Leave it alone. You're ruining it.
Well, I think this is a movie for those of you in our listening audience who believe in the power of hallucinogenics, because it looks visually stunning. Like, you'd get really, really stoned off your butt and you would watch this movie and you'd be like, whoa, the colors, man, the colors. That's what this looks like to me.
It still needs to be a good movie, though. And I don't know. You know, I mean, you got all kinds of Blackbeard is Hugh Jackman. You've got Rooney Mara up in here as Tiger Lily.
Painting Hook as a bad guy.
No, because this is the setup. This is Pan. Right. This is how he becomes to become the Pan.
Right, and so I'm
this
just
is how he
over
becomes
it
the Hook
already.
It's an origin story.
I don't want it.
What about the Steve Jobs movie then?
Nope.
Why not? Michael Fassbender. Really,
I don't care.
Well, I do care for Michael Fassbender.
I know you do.
But I mean, he is very transformative. He changes his look in the movies that he's in.
Sure does.
So it could be interesting. I just have never been that interested in his story.
Steve Jobs. Me either.
But it's a Danny Boyle film, so that kind of makes it interesting.
Yeah,
and
it could
it's got to be better than the Ashton Kutcher
version. I could see watching it when it was on.
Sure, there's no need to go out and see it. But, Slumdog Millionaire, Trainspotting, 127 Hours, man's done some good films. The weekend after that, The Beasts of No Nation has to be the strangest title so far.
Yeah. But it looks like it might be okay. I mean, it kind of goes into like the child armies of Southern Africa.
It's not going to be an easy film.
And it could be super interesting, but it could also be terrible. Like, it really, like, even with, like, you look at the trailer, you read the description, you know it's on the line. But who knows whether it's going to be on the line of good or on the line of bad. It's just right there teeter-tottering.
Well, I think it'll be authentic. It'll be interesting to see.
I have, to my knowledge, there is not... You will not see a white person saving Africa in this film.
Right.
I do not believe you will see that. Yeah. Idris Elba is in it, and always fascinating to watch. So we'll see what that happens. Bridge of Spies, apparently taking all the spies they capture and making a bridge out of them. I don't know how that is effective, but that's what we're going to do.
The Coen brothers, though. Tom Hanks.
It is. So the Coen brothers, that right away, I'm like, okay, I'm interested. Tom Hanks, okay, so much. But the Coen brothers, I'll definitely do. Cold War thriller, certainly. Wait. Written by the Coen brothers.
Yeah.
Oh. Hopefully Spielberg can actually direct a Coen brothers script.
Definitely an interesting collaboration.
Yeah, it's not one I would have seen at all. Crimson Peak.
So here we go. Crimson Peak.
Crimson Peak.
Winter's Bone. Crimson Peak.
Billy the Bull. Guillermo del Toro. Haunted House movie. So it's a 19th century aristocrat taking his London bride to live in his spooky mansion. Which I'm sure we've seen that plot line a bunch before. I would like to hope. Once upon a time, I would believe with his name on it no matter what, but I've seen Mama since then, so... Oh, snap! Damn!
It could be all right.
I'm hoping. We'll see. Truth will also be out. Robert Redford playing Dan Rather, and that's just the strangest thing to me.
Yeah, right.
I cannot, for the life of me, see that, because he doesn't really look like Dan Rather at all to me, and I know you don't have to, but still... It's about the 2004 piece on 60 Minutes that challenged the idea that President George W. Bush did or did not serve in the National Guard.
Yeah.
The controversy.
Yeah, this is going to open up some old wounds and throw a little bit of salt.
Yeah, so we'll see. It's still not going to be all the president's men.
No. We've got a Suffragette comes out on the 23rd, and this is, first I thought it was Maggie Gyllenhaal, but it's Carey Mulligan.
If you just look away real quick.
Right? But this is actually interesting, because I think we have, as a people, a tendency to view the women's suffrage movement as like the Mary Poppins version of it. Happy women with banners, and and it was definitely much more difficult than that, so it's going to be a kind of a gritty version.
She killed people. Right?
Mary Poppins?
Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins killed people.
She put them in their bag.
Sherry Mulligan? Probably. Women aren't above murder. When they need to do something, when they have a cause, they're not above murder.
Didn't say that they were. Nope. Didn't say they were. Brooklyn comes out November 6th. You've got Irish actress. I don't know how to say her name at all. Her last name is Ronan. I can tell you that much. It's a story of love and leaving home. A girl who comes to 1950s America for work and must choose between an attractive stranger and a man she left behind. Nothing about this movie speaks to me whatsoever.
No.
That's James Bond.
So you've moved on. I thought you were dancing around to the 1950s. So November 6th is also
Spectre. I really can't tell.
I can now. Now I can tell.
Okay, now I can.
There it is. So Skyfall, the fourth time for Daniel Craig as James Bond.
Spectre.
Christoph Waltz is the bad guy in this one. And, you know, it's Spectre. It's the actual bad guy organization that James Bond fought somewhere.
It's James Bond. We're going to see it.
Well, yeah, there's that. So there's really no need for anything else.
Have you seen it's like everyone online is like, I'd play James Bond if they asked me. I'd play James Bond. Like every male actor has put out there that he would gladly play James Bond.
But they're not
going
to ask you.
No,
that's the whole point.
I'd play James Bond.
Spotlight is also out that weekend, so we won't be seeing that either. It has...
It's about the Boston Globe, pretty much.
Yeah. Michael Keaton, Mark Ruffalo. He's not going to Hulk out, though. So Michael Keaton plays the head of the paper's Spotlight team, and they're going to... you know, the 2003 Pulitzer for exposing the Archdiocese cover-up of sexual abuse. So it's a good time. It's all good times. So many movies about stories that are covered up and whatnot.
Well, here's a Oscar bait one coming around. We got Trumbo coming out on November 6th. So that's Bryan Cranston going for maybe, you know, an Oscar.
Sure.
Up against the Emmys that he's already got. So it could be an interesting story. It's about, you know, politics and all kinds of stuff.
He plays LBJ.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird.
It's essentially about a screenwriter who got blacklisted in the 1950s.
Yeah, a lot of people. That's an interesting concept, so I'll watch that. Carol comes out November 20th. Kate Blanchett and Rooney Mara enjoying a love that dare not speak its name.
Back when you weren't allowed to be a lesbian.
Yep, 1950s lesbianism. So, hey, Todd Haynes directs it. It's a book from Patricia Highsmith.
Yep. There's your Oscar bait, too.
Total Oscar bait. Not Oscar bait would be The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2. Is that the...
It's wrapping up.
Is that
finally
the end?
That's
the final
this
final
is
this?
The end at last. It's what the description says. They know it's terrible.
Whatever. It's going to be awesome.
Okay. Well, if you know, apparently I should have read the book instead. That way I could have appreciated the movies, since that's what I had to do.
Yeah.
But every other Hunger Games wraps
every
up.
Other dystopian stuff out there now is all copying The Hunger Games. The Hunger Games is the best of them all, and I will be seeing it.
Okay. I'll watch Battle Royale again. The Danish Girl comes out November 27th. Eddie Redmayne, who played Stephen Hawking in The Theory of Everything, is going to go for another one as a Danish artist in the 1920s to become the first male to make the surgical transition to female. So there you go. Oscar bait again.
Well, it definitely seems like our LGBT issues are being focused on in this...
The issue of the year.
Yeah.
The most socially conscious issue of the year.
But you know what? These
I knew it was going to be like that, too.
But these are the movies that make you feel what these people have gone through to, you know, to get to where they have been today and the persecution. And I just think, like, sometimes you need either fiction or fictional or an adaptation of what really happened in real life to drive those stories home to people who don't maybe experience, don't have daily interactions with people who are
like that. They're out of ideas. And they're making movies about things that trended this past year.
It's a compelling story. Like the one where they go back and look at like 1950s and like earlier times. Like
no, some of these are based off of books. And some of these...
Some of them
could not have been greenlit, produced, shot, and ready to release now since the beginning of the year. I mean, it just happens to go along. Do people know these kind of things are coming? Sure. My question, though, is why do we have to wait till the fall to have feelings? Why is January suck time for movies and February is not that good either? And we've got to wait around to May to kick off summer even earlier for the movie season.
I don't know. But November 27th comes, the movie that's going to win it all. I saw The Light, which is
the Loki movie,
the Hank Williams tell-all story.
Yeah, but that's Loki. That's Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, well, British actors have a history of being able to do pretty good American accents, and it seems, I think I've read that he sings all the songs in this. I think it could be definitely interesting.
That
but
would be.
If he does pull this off and has the performance of his life, then this is, you know, them talking Oscar for him as well.
See, they're going for that. The Son of Saul opens December 18th. It's Hungary's submission for Best Foreign Language Film Oscar. See, it's already, they're already doing it.
They're just saying maybe that's what it's going to be, yeah, I think.
But so it's an Auschwitz. It's not, it's going to be a very difficult film, probably very moving, but that's not what I'll be seeing. That's not at all what I will be watching on December 18th, because I will be watching Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I will. I'm absolutely going to be there. I want to believe. I have to believe.
So we're
going to
dress up and camp out in like all the works?
It's entirely possible, yes. Because everybody's back. Everybody's back. Everybody's back. Han's there. Luke is there. Leia's there. Everybody's back. So I have to. And this is made by people that loved the movies that I loved, and not the guy who just decided to make toys.
It's always going to go the original trilogy.
Yes.
And then I think this trilogy.
Possibly.
And then the first trilogy.
I really want Let's this hope. To be good. I just really, really want it to be good. I want to feel like a kid again when I watch it.
A new hope about it.
Oh, Jesus. If I had something to throw at you right now, I would. December 25th, Christmas Day.
The Hateful Eight.
What better way to spend time with your family than going to watch Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight.
So this is Samuel L. Jackson, Kurt Russell, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Tim Roth, Michael Madsen, Bruce Dern. It's just like a whole bunch of
yeah, crazy it's people. The Reservoir Dogs
and
Western.
Spurs.
Western, yeah. Wow. That's absolutely what it is. Joy giving Jennifer Lawrence a chance to be a badass again. She is loosely based on Joey Magnano, the inventor of the Miracle Mop, and in this trailer that I'm watching right now, she has a gun, and I don't know why that
Maybe
is.
Maybe the gun is a mop.
The gun mop, okay. The Revenant comes out on Christmas Day as well. Here's our Leonardo DiCaprio film.
He's scruffy and he's got a beard.
That means he's serious.
Right.
I don't know what this one's about.
It's like Survivor in the Canadian wilderness. He was left to die by his pals. Oh, no. And then, it's definitely going to be, and maybe this is his kind of Oscar pitch.
Well, he is playing someone who hasn't shaved.
Yeah, going through some pretty hellacious stuff.
Might be okay. Might be okay. Depends on how Leonardo DiCaprio can transform into a 19th century hunter fur trapper.
Well, it's the director from Birdman, so yeah, this will have Oscar talk. It's definitely the latter part of, it's like September and even into October, a little bit more like summer, and then it's like the October into November, December time frame is where it really starts to get more of like Oscar movies. But I think in general, there's definitely going to be some hits. I mean, Star Wars is going to, I think it could break all records because of their re-merchandising effort and the fact that like every kid is now also into Star Wars. It's going to be ridiculous. It's going to have all the nostalgia people, all of the kids, everyone who's basically ever heard of Star Wars.
There's no animation or Christmas movies.
Well, that's fine. Point Break's remake comes out on Christmas Day as well. So you don't need that. Something is missing. I don't know this list that I gave. Oh, you know what? There's an Alvin and the Chipmunks movie that comes out around Christmas. So there you go. There's that one. And Krampus comes out in December. I'm missing stuff. This list that I made for everybody, I'm missing stuff.
Yeah,
hold on a second. Because
Krampus is going to be something interesting.
Krampus, if you watch American Dad, you know what you're getting in for. But yeah, there's your Christmas horror movie that should be pretty good. But no, what I'm talking about is I'm missing the 25th of November. The 25th of November is when The Good Dinosaur, the new one from Pixar, comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And it's when
Victor Frankenstein comes out
that day. Creed comes out that day. That's the one, Sylvester Stallone, where he's now going to train Apollo Creed's kid to
box. There's also a Peanuts movie coming out in November.
There is. How did I like miss a bunch of November?
And I missed this one on purpose, Jim and the Holograms. Comes out October 23rd.
I didn't want to mention it for you either.
Yeah, thank you.
I know. This is going to be
the Goosebumps movie comes out on October 16th.
I kind of don't think I remembered that at all.
That's where all the R.L. Stein characters comes to life. Yeah.
And Jack Black is playing R.L. Stein. I wonder what R.L. Stein thinks about that. If you're a fan of Goosebumps, that's the movie for you. So if you grew up in the early to mid 90s, that is your movie right there.
There's definitely a few others, but I think that this is definitely that we
this
hit
is
all the
heavy
highlights
hitters.
Right.
Yeah. This is going to be what the Oscars are about.
I wasn't going to mention Paranormal Activity because there's another one of those coming
out. There's no need to.
I'm skipping all that.
It's
so
over with.
What are you most looking forward to?
Star
The
Wars.
Martian and Star Wars. Well, The Martian's closer. That's why I can say that. But The Martian and Star Wars are my two films right out of the bath. And I'm like, yes, I have to see The Martian. Of course, I have to see Star Wars.
I think a lot of these are going to fall into my second tier of when it's on, like, either HBO On Demand, like that level.
Well, all of
movie.
These will fall in my second tier because I boycott expensive.
But I'm just saying, like, there's not a whole lot that even I am all like, oh yeah, we should go see it in the theater.
God, why do you hate movies?
I don't. I like movies. I just don't think that you should pay as much as... I don't think the people who made these movies should be spending as much as they do on movies. And I don't think that they should be making as much as they do on these movies. But that's just my opinion.
Well, and then you act on your opinion by not giving them money in the theaters. It makes perfect sense.
Good job.
But I would probably go see The Hateful Eight or I Saw the Light.
So those are your two would be kind of things. Yeah. What's the underdog film here?
Probably the Jennifer Lawrence film. She seems to do well with awards.
I could see that. Ellen Page's story. I think we're gonna see at least something LGBT for sure getting recognized and nominated.
Okay, yeah. That'll be the one. All right. What do you think about the Peanuts movie? Have you seen any of the trailers and stuff for it?
No.
The animation style.
They could do it well.
It's kind of interesting. Yeah, I'm really hoping.
I don't have any faith.
It'll all be on the heart of the story. We'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, don't know.
Because
how that's going to
go. The Peanuts work, even though it's old, even though we've watched the reruns so many times, the Thanksgiving special, the Great Pumpkin, the Christmas special, they don't need to be remade. They just need to be rewatched.
So, you know, but if you have a brand new fantastic story to tell with those characters,
then do it.
Sure. I just don't know.
Don't ruin it.
Yeah, it's like 3D.
Don't ruin it for this generation.
Yeah. What they're going to do. So, yeah, there it is. So, if you want to send us some movie gift certificates to go see these kind of films, awesome. If you'd rather just go see the films yourself.
Or call or message us about the ones that you're excited about, we'd like to hear from you.
That would be fantastic, because you should tell us what you'd like to see, and that's, of course, podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Anything else to say about this particularly wonderful, fantastic topic?
Nope. Go to the movies.
Go to the movies, buy me some popcorn.
Watch some stuff.
They won't let me bring my own popcorn. They know mine's better. Bastards.
I don't know, dude. If I could take your popcorn and their butter that goes on it, then it would be complete.
Get me some of it. I'll make it. GRD is licensed with Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Attributed Works, 96.3 license. Make sure you come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Always a fantastic time. Always. Drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com or send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CROW.
That's to what now?
510-GRD-CROW.
And we will see you in a swig.
We have mail? People are listening to this?
Hey, I'm a firm believer in the philosophy of a ruling class, especially since I rule.
Naive yet inspiring statement. And then the music gets hopeful.
Specific outlining of your major character flaws. Overreaction.
Friendly black optimistic advice.
Passionate flame. Whispered repetition.
This scene doesn't make it to the final cut of the movie.
Inspiring final lines of a speech that douchebags will quote in their Facebook profiles!
Yeah! Starring Academy Award-winning actor, Academy Award-winning actress, actor desperately trying for an Academy Award, older actress in a comeback attempt, beloved actor who died this year.
Explicitly stating the moral of the story and awkwardly working in the movie title.
Movie title.
Oh, catchphrase.
It's not going to be entirely a dramatic film because we laughed there.